SV Pod is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
Hey, it's SV Pod. Overmodulated Steve is here as well. We will welcome in Luka Garza, Iowa's leading scorer in the nation, to talk about his senior year at Iowa and much more after this. And be sure to check out Stephen A's World. Stephen A's World streams weekdays on ESPN Plus, bringing fans Stephen A. Smith's entertaining perspective and deep expertise with signature guests. The best interviews from Stephen A's World are now available as a podcast every Wednesday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts and watch Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus.
And action.
We're joined now by Luka Garza, of course, the Iowa big man. Now their all-time leading scorer in the nation. They got a fun couple of games coming up at Michigan, at Ohio State. We'll get to all of that in just a minute. And Luka, as we start, thanks for the time, first of all. I just mentioned all-time leading scorer. And if I don't start here, I'm going to be thinking about it the whole time. We had the highlight the other night in SportsCenter, and I showed it. You had a free throw for the all-time record. You're not a good shooter. You're an excellent shooter. You airballed the free throw for the record. Like, that hasn't probably happened to you since you're 6 years old. What happened in that moment, man?
Honestly, I've never airballed a free throw in my life. And I think the worst part about it was, you know, I got fouled. And I knew it was a one-on-one. And I was going to the line. And then there was a timeout. There was a media timeout. So I had to sit there. And I really hadn't been thinking about it for the whole game. But then I looked up at the scoreboard. I knew I was 2 points away. And I think the nerves started to settle in a little bit. So when I got up to that line, you know, to be honest, it was a miracle the first one went in. Both of them felt horrible when I let them go. And the second one, you know, I think the nerves just kind of overcame me. And, you know, I screamed short as soon as they left my hand. Short! And I walked out. But, you know, I think it was fitting that it came from a, you know, pass from Jordan Bohannon. And I was able to pass it that way. And once I did that, you know, it was kind of monkey off my back and I was good to go for the rest of the game.
Okay. Now see, I appreciate just the honesty because my guy, Steve, pointed that out to me the other night, like when you did, and you know, it was so obvious what this meant. And I understand why. Iowa is such a tradition based program and marbles and like, I mean, I'm an old guy, so I remember it, but like, it's clear that you came back for a lot of different reasons and this was something that could happen. And so players know in their mind, like, you know, you knew what you needed to get. So like, it makes sense to me that the weight of that, like it had to get heavy. You know what I mean? Like there's no way for it not to, you know, it wouldn't have made sense for it to just be like, whatever.
For sure. You know, it just, you know, it means the world to me to even be in this position. It just means that I've had a lot of great teammates and coaches over my 4 years, but you know, exactly. You know, I think I knew going in, but I tried to make the focus of the game all on winning. And I think the only moment where I kind of let that slip was, you know, during that timeout when I really had to think about it. So, you know, it's just definitely a blessing to have the teammates that I do.
Yeah, you'd have been fine if it was just, you know, it didn't have the timeout to be like, uh-oh, man. But that's amazing. You know what? I thought about this the other day. Serena Williams was talking about playing in the Australian Open and fans were going to be back. And she's like, you know, it's great to have them there, but it also makes me nervous. Like, I think people underestimate that the best – Tiger Woods told me all the time, like, you think I'm not nervous on the first tee at Augusta? Like, what role do nerves play? Because when I watch you play, you're not a guy that ever feels like you get too high, too low. But, I mean, how would you ascribe sort of being in the arena and what it means?
You know, I think, you know, there's always a nervous excitement about playing basketball for me, you know, no matter where. But especially at this level and playing, you know, even if they're not fans there, you know, just we know how important these games are. And I know how important these games are for, you know, our program, our team. So obviously there's a lot of nerves that go into every single game. But for me, you know, the biggest thing that I've learned over the last 2 years is I've implemented meditation. And that's been my way of just relaxing, being able to go in every game kind of calm and present. But, you know, I think even that moment was a little too much.
We got to ask about your coach. Everybody loves to talk about Coach McCaffrey. He's as tense as he is. When did you know, like recruiting and all that stuff, when did you know how good of a player he was back in his day?
You know, I think, honestly, I kind of found out fast. You know, he started recruiting me in my sophomore year, really before a lot of other teams did. And he was actually, you know, a lot of schools, the assistant sees you first. but he was the first one to see me. You know, I was playing against his son, Connor, in an AAU tournament during a dead period. So no other coaches could be there. But since it was his son, he was allowed to be there and watch. And so, you know, I played well, and he obviously reached out to me. So I started to kind of look into Iowa a little bit more, and, you know, I started to hear like white magic. So I was trying to figure out who is white magic? What is that? And, you know, obviously I found out the coach was a really, really good player, great ball handler and great passer. So, you know, I learned a lot about that, and it was really funny.
Do you think he gets away more with the mask on now during games, talking to officials and his players? Do you think the mask helps him?
Yeah, I think for, you know, the people watching the TV, you don't get to see what he's saying. But no, everyone still hears him. His voice carries.
I'm a guy that loves, obviously, I'm a big guy. I love some buffalo wings, all right? And the buffalo wing, you know, the flavors go hotter. Hottest, you know, suicide.
Yeah, what was
how many levels of Coach McCaffrey's hot mad is there? Or is there just one and it just goes 0 to 100 real fast?
You know, I think there's levels to it. You know, I think when you get to the, you know, face is red and he's screaming, that's the top level. But you know, there's different points where he's not, you know, as
angry. What's the maddest you ever made him?
That's a good one. I think honestly, I think I was part of a play my freshman year at Indiana, and we were up for most of the half, and, you know, we started to fall apart, and they were coming back, and they started to take the lead. And on the last play, you know, we ran a play, and I was wide open at the end, and I didn't get the ball, and we turned it over, and they went down, and there was like 5 seconds left, and none of us ran back, including me, and the guy went down and laid it up, and that was, you know, that's the most mad I've ever seen coach. In the locker room, throwing chairs, you know, kicking things. You know, that was definitely the top two.
I think people, it's easy to seize upon that part of coach, but I met him many years ago when he was at Siena, and it was a charity event that they asked if I could come up and help, and I was happy to do it. And I was just struck. He's such a calm, decent, great guy. And I mean, you know where I'm from, DC guy, Gary Williams, who I've known for years at Maryland. You talk to Gary away from the arena, he's actually almost shy, soft-spoken, very calm. But Gary had that gear too. I think that it just speaks to the competitor in the guy. And I think to Steve's point, it goes back to him being a great player. You know what I mean? Like just that you can be a very soft-spoken, kind man, and you can just have that gear in the competitive environment where there's just a whole different deal. Is that who the guy you know?
Yes, you know, he's one of the fiercest competitors I've ever been around, you know, player or coach. So, you know, that's exactly right. But, you know, when he's not, you know, like that, he's a family man. He's a great guy. He's funny, awesome to be around. And truthfully, you know, during the game, you know, obviously he does blow up. But a lot of it, you know, which is kind of a lot of it is directed towards the refs, if we're being honest. You know, some of it is not always towards us. And especially when he does yell at you, like, you know, like he yells at the players and stuff like that. He's giving you another chance as soon as, you know, a couple of minutes go by. He's putting you back in there, giving you a chance to learn from it. So that's the biggest thing for me is if I'm gonna have a coach who's gonna blow up and yell at me, that he's gonna give me a chance to make it right and make my mistake better. So you know, that's the biggest thing. But you know, you're exactly right. He gets that point because he wants to win, and he wants us to win so bad, and he wants the best for us. So you know, that's why he's so, you know, fierce.
The style that he's instilled in you guys, Luca, it's an awesome style to watch. You guys are up and down. It's a fun style. I can't imagine how great like practice is where it's, you know, you guys are just playing so free. You could just see it, you know, like nothing really phases. You guys go down early the other night to Penn State. And I'm just like, there's way too much time left. They got too many good shot makers. They're going to come back. But on the other side, you guys are playing a lot of high scoring games. And what are the naysayers saying? They don't like to play defense. You know, they're going to try and outscore you. What do you guys take from that? Like, is that just motivation to keep trying to get better on the defensive end in practice? But also, you know, looking towards, I mean, let's be honest. The Big Ten has been incredible this year, right? There's got to be some of you guys that are like, you know what? I can't wait to just get to the NCAA tournament and really show these people, you know, what we got, knowing how good the Big Ten is. But like your guys' mindset, do you hear that noise?
You know, we definitely do, and I think we've heard it all year. And I'm just really proud of our team. You know, these last I'd say five games, you know, I think we've just taken it up another level in the defensive end that we haven't really been, you know, before that. And I think we've really locked into, you know, understanding that, you know, stopping teams is what's going to make us great. And we can beat a lot of teams with our offense, but we hit a stretch where, you know, our offense, you know, had some trouble. You know, we were getting games where we had a drought and then we lost, you know, at Indiana, we're up 9. And then we have a scoring drought and they end up winning by 10. You know, Ohio State, we couldn't keep up with their scoring for a little bit. And we ended up losing that game. So we realized how important the defensive end is. And I think we've always realized that, but we've never, you know, consistently locked into that. And we've had a few performances this year where I'd say they were awesome defensive performances. Purdue at home, North Carolina. You know, there were definitely a couple, but then you had the games like Gonzaga or at Minnesota when the games got up into 90s and 100s, and we can score up there anytime we want, but we understand that winning is going to require us to play better defense. I think we've really locked into that, you know, these last couple games, and that's what we know is important. That's going to help us make a run in the NCAA tournament. We know how great the Big Ten is, and yes, we're very excited to get to the NCAA tournament. And I think, you know, everyone in the Big Ten is, you know, once you get out of there and you don't have, you know, these great coaches scouting your teams and in all these game plans, it's going to be a lot different. But, you know, I think we have a chance to really make a run in the Big Ten tournament and win a championship.
You used in it the word just a moment ago that I've heard about this league, and it's interesting. I wonder if you could expand upon it. I've had a coach outside this league say that the Big Ten is the best scouted league in the country, and I think everybody knows, you know, everybody knows what you're running, right? Like your fist or thumb or whatever the signals are. But what makes the Big Ten the best scouted league? Like what does that mean, really?
You know, it really goes, you know, a lot of teams in the country go, you know, their scouting reports like play calls, different stuff like this. But it goes beyond play calls. It's tendencies. It's, you know, locking in the players. And obviously over these last 2 years, I've started to see, you know, a lot of different game plans, and I'm seeing different things every night from different teams. So you really learn just how, you know, smart these coaches are, and we know how prepared we are for each game we go into, and we have the same kind of game plan for somebody else. But, you know, I think it's a lot of high level coaches that understand that, you know, game planning is what prepares your team to win, and I think that's why, you know, people say that.
They can do whatever they want. They're not stopping you. Your game is improved every year. You've added layers to it. And last spring, when it was like, is he going to come back or not? I started hearing he's coming back, and I'm thinking, well, that's too bad. I was, you know, I didn't want to see you again. What made you decide that it was time to, you know, come back for one more run with the fellas?
You know, I saw the opportunity, what, you know, the potential of this team could be, and you know, I love playing with my teammates, and you know, that was honestly the biggest thing. Is it just wouldn't have felt right leaving without, you know, kind of finishing my career and finishing this year with this team, and seeing what we could do, you know, and we're getting close to that time where, you know, it'll be time to see, you know, what this team is made of. So it was very exciting for me, and I couldn't have made a better decision. And you know, obviously, you know, the NBA is a dream of mine, you know, since I was a little kid. But, you know, being on a great college team was also a dream of mine.
Does Bohannon take a lot of time to get ready when he goes out? I know you guys can't really go out now, but I see him and his hair is always perfect. And I look at him, I'm like, that guy, like his gear, he just looks like he takes a long time to get ready to go out. Maybe I'm wrong.
Something like that. No, I've learned a lot from him. You know, me and him now share the same barber. You know, he introduced me to him, so now I get my hair cut by the same guy. And a lot of
you're always clean. You're always. How often do you, like, you play Michigan Thursday night? That's a big one. Then Ohio State. Like, how often do you have to make sure that the cut is correct?
You know, honestly, you know, when you look at our team, our whole starting lineup gets cut by the same person, and we go every 2 weeks. You know, I have a couple roommates, Connor McCaffrey. We go about every 2 weeks. You know, CJ Frederick will go, you know, every week or two, and same with Jordan Bohannon. You know, we're all in tune with you, with keeping up with that. You know,
there's no product though you're putting in before the game, right?
No, not
all me. Right. Because I was gonna say, man, you sweat a lot. I don't want anything getting down on the jersey or on the hands.
Exactly.
We just moved to DC. From Connecticut. The show's out of here now. You're obviously from here. And I'm just trying to think. I've never been to Iowa. Like, there's got to be, like, you know, DC kid growing up, and then you go to Iowa. Like, I don't want to stereotype Iowa, but, like, What? All right, let's start.
You're kind of stereotyping Iowa before you even ask the question. Is what you're doing, Steve?
No. What's the one thing you missed like as soon as you realized you were living in Iowa?
You know,
because that was a big change. No lie, right?
It definitely was a big change, and you know, I've always been a big city kid. So I think just you know the city in general, you know, being around all of the tall buildings, you know, walking around, being able to get food really late at night at diners or whatever the case may be, I think that was one of the biggest things, you know, I kind of missed. But you know, I found you know just kind of beauty in the difference between the two. You know, a small college town, and I just really fell in love with Iowa City and the campus. And I think you know my freshman year was probably the hardest in terms of missing home. But after that, I just kind of really, really fell in love with the campus. And you know, I missed home, obviously, because I miss my family. But, you know, I love being here and I love being back in D.C., you know, almost equally. So it's just really been an awesome experience for me. You know, I think when I was being recruited, that was the craziest thing to think about was like, what is Iowa going to be like? You know, I'm from D.C. I take the Metro to school every day. Like, you know, what is Iowa going to be like? And I get off the airplane and land in the airport. Everything's flat. I don't see a building for like, you know, like anywhere. So I'm like, you know, what's going on? And once I get to Iowa City, you know, I thought it was really nice and, you know, met all the people. And that's, you know, the people here are truthfully so amazing that, you know, it makes it really special.
Speaking of DC and high school, and Steve's, you know, here now and is getting an idea of what the league that you're a part of here and like who you play against, like when during and high school in DC, like whether it's DeMatha, Gonzaga, Paul VI, I mean, I could keep going, like just who were some of the guys in your time frame in high school that you were playing against?
Oh my gosh. You know, it there was a lot of people, you know, even, you know, obviously the WCAC, which is the league with DeMatha and Gonzaga, that is the best high school league in the country. And, you know, obviously I wasn't in that league. I was at Murray School, which was in the MAC, but we still had, you know, Josh Hart played for Sidwell, Sadiq Pay played for Sidwell, Obi Anachonia played for St. James, Justin Robinson from Virginia Tech played at St. James. You know, and then obviously, you know, we played against Markel Foles at DeMatha, DJ Harvey. You know, Chris Likes was in my class on my AAU team. There's just so many guys, you know, and that's what made it so good. You know, obviously Hunter Dickinson and me played against each other. You know, we both played for TakeOver, and even though he was younger than me, we always worked out and played against each other. So, you know, that's the best thing about the DMV is that I could keep going on and on and on for days about how many great players there are. And every time you turn on your TV, you see someone doing really well in college. You know, it's most likely a DMV player.
Do guys pull for each other?
Yes, I think for sure. You know, I was really excited the way, you know, Sadiq Bey, you know, from my freshman year when we kind of came in, or my sophomore year, he was a freshman, and we came in to high school and seeing him develop over these years. And last year, you know, when I won the Kareem Award and I think he won the Julius Erving, I thought that was just a really cool moment for two out of the five, you know, position players in college to be from the same high school league, which is, you know, a small, you know, the MAC. So I pull for everyone I see from the DMV. Nate Watson's doing great at Providence. There's really, you know, so many guys that, you know, that you watch. CJ Kaiser at NC Central, what he's doing, it's really awesome.
And it's interesting because when guys blow up, like, and Nate Watson was a guy, like, I know Marilyn was talking to him, and people always like, after you turn into this monster, it's like, well, why the hell didn't Marilyn speak to him? And it's like, there's so many guys that it's impossible to try to recruit everybody. I know like Hunter Dickinson made some comment about like Marilyn didn't recruit him. Like, well, they offered him when he was a sophomore. It's like, hey man, like they tried, but there's just so many people. I think it's amazing just to try to give people an idea of the depth of talent around here. It's just, I don't think there's anything else like it in the country. Do you?
No, I honestly think, you know, more teams, more universities should recruit out of the DMV area. Cause when you see just what happens when you do and you get a player from here, they
like you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. But I know, I think, you know, and I think you look at Maryland and how many great players from our area that have been there, Melo Trimble, Anthony Cowan, Daryl Morcell, like Jalen Smith, you just keep going on, and they've done such a great job of recruiting the area. But, you know, like you said, it's hard. There's so many players to kind of look from in each class. Every single year, there's another guy that's going to be, you know, hopefully in the NBA at some point.
What's the league like this year with no fans?
it's a lot different, but you know, I think over time we've really gotten used to it. And I think the biggest thing that has changed is our bench has really gotten into being that kind of energy that the crowd would provide for us, you know, defense chants or just scream and get a lot of energy. And I think, you know, it's really fun for me because, you know, I play the same way, whether I'm in front of 15,000 people or I'm at the YMCA or I'm outside, like I play the same way. I'm still going to yell and scream. I'm still going to play with emotion. It's just the way I love to play basketball. So, you know, obviously we've gotten used to it. We miss having a packed Carver Hawkeye Arena, but you know, truthfully, it's a little easier when you go on the road and it's not, you know, 15,000 people helping them, you know, get runs and, you know, have momentum and whatever the case may be, because, you know, really the crowd plays such a factor, you know, in a lot of games.
Luca, I got to, you know, you're talking to two guys that lost their dad at an early age, and I've read a ton about how much your dad has helped you. And you know, you call him a best friend. And is it true he's only missed one game? In New York, there was a snowstorm or something. Was that right?
Yes. There's two games he's missed in my college career. First of all, sorry for both of your losses.
Oh, don't worry.
But, you know, at Minnesota my freshman year, he had a meeting and he ended up – everyone in his work was watching the game together. And then, obviously, you know, in New York, we were playing the 2K Classic against Oregon. And his, you know, his flight got in, but he, you know, couldn't, you know, make it through all the way to the game because of traffic or – whatever the case may be. So yeah, no, there's, it's very rare that he misses a game. And obviously this year, you know, some places don't allow,
yeah,
to even be family, you know, especially earlier in the year. But we're very lucky that Iowa does let us have that. So my dad is able to come to our games here. And I know he loves that, and you know, he misses going on the road. But you know, it's always amazing to just have that support there and be able to see him in the crowd.
He played at Idaho, right?
Yes, he played at the University of Iowa, or Idaho. He played at Skagit Valley Junior College and Santa Rosa Junior College. And then his coach from Santa Rosa Junior College, Coach Bill Trumbo, who was actually someone who worked with me and trained with me a lot when I was in high school, he went to the University of Idaho and took my dad with him.
Oh, I've been to Moscow, Idaho. You're not missing anything there. You can tell him I said that. Do you remember how old when the first time, like, you got him? I imagine you guys played one-on-one.
Oh yeah, we definitely played one-on-one. He used to never let me beat me. Yep. Beat him. And you know, I think, you know, once I probably got to like 7th, 8th grade when I first got him for the first time.
And nice.
That was a really, really good feeling.
I bet it was.
It's just cool. You see, I saw some videos online of you guys working out, and it's just, I don't know, as Steve says, when you lose something like that, I'm not trying to give you advice, but never take for granted that the blessing and the gift, that love is, you know, as a parent now, like you see how much investing your time and your love in your child, like I'll, someday when you're on the other end of it, what you get back is so much more than you'll ever know. But it's just, it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, what you've become and the role he's played in that, and to see him supporting you. And you mentioned the Iowa people and the community that's supporting you guys. They want to see you make a run. I talked a minute ago about like your schedule coming up at Michigan, at Ohio State. It's relentless, you know? I mean, who knows? You could be a high seed, you could be whatever seed, but it's about making a run in the tournament. What do you guys feel like you have to do, this crew that's been together for a long time, to have that run? What do you have to do?
I think, you know, the biggest thing for us is going to be seeing if this, you know, this defense we've been playing for those last five games can continue to be consistent every single night. You know, that we know that, you know, we can score. And so, you know, we can score against anybody. We have total confidence in that. You know, obviously we lost to Gonzaga, but we put up 90. We know we can score points. And we didn't even, you know, truthfully, we didn't have a good offensive game. We were 4 for 25 from three, and we still were able to score against the number one team in the country like that. You know, I think we all know that we can score the ball against anybody, no matter what defense is in front of us. But, you know, our ability to be able to get stops is what's going to take us, you know, as far as we can go. And we, you know, having CJ Frederick back and healthy has really helped. You know, obviously without him in that stretch, you know, people don't realize how much that affected us, but it did. And now having him back and healthy is awesome. And we're going to continue to push forward. We obviously have a huge week this week with two big road games against, you know, two of the top four teams in the country. And you know, the biggest thing for us going in those games is to continue this effort on the defensive end.
Luca, last week we did a Dayton highlight. It was their last game at home. and they're out there with their jerseys and their head coach. And I'm driving home, and I was just really pissed off because I really think about that team last year in Dayton, knowing what they had at stake, and they never had a chance to go. And I just can't stop thinking about their head coach and especially their seniors now. Have you guys been able at points this year, and I understand the testing and all that, like the idea that it's brought you guys closer. I mean, you guys got a lot of veterans on your team, but have you been able to talk to each other about this journey, man, like appreciate what you guys are doing because of what's going on and how good you guys have been and been able to enjoy this?
Definitely. You know, I think the team is just, you know, so hungry, and especially with a lot of guys, you know, who were there last year when, you know, our season got cut short,
mm-hmm.
and we felt like we were another team that was, you know, in a good position to make a run. And I think, you know, that motivation from not having that tournament, you know, obviously I had been my sophomore year, but there's a lot of guys that hadn't been, and, you know, the people who were there my sophomore year, we know how much the Tennessee loss has been eating at us since that moment. So, you know, obviously we are filled with motivation. We understand, you know, how important this is. And it's just been, you know, honestly, I'm just, you know, we talked to the guys before the year started, but I've been so impressed to how smart everyone's been, how careful we've been just to make sure there's no, you know, pauses or anything like that. We're really just trying to, you know, stay as healthy as we can. And we're going to continue to do that, knock on wood. And I think we all know, you know, what the purpose of this year is and what we want out of it. So we're determined.
I'm so impressed with just the discipline of the young men and women across the country to, I mean, you guys are in college and, you know, to have the focus that you have to do what you have to do to have this opportunity. And given that it got taken away last year, Steve says for Dayton, you guys think you were in a good space. Maryland felt like everybody felt like they were in a good space. Cause in your head, you're not thinking, yeah, we probably would have got there and lost in the first round, right? Everybody in their heads, like we would have been in Atlanta, and it sucked that you guys didn't get it, but you guys are going to have a chance this year for sure. On the way out, I want to just ask one thing about the next level. Cause you're a guy, and I roll my eyes at myself because everything comes back to Maryland. But Gravis Vasquez was a guy like you, could have left, came back. His last year, he became ACC Player of the Year. He got drafted in the first round. He got to the league. He got to several contracts. He made some money. Like, he's one of my all-time guys. He's one of my favorite people ever because of just he invested in himself, and he made it. Your game, like – A true post guy now in the league. I don't know how many guys there are like that, but you can stretch it out in the shoot to three. You're going to play at the next level. I just wonder how much does the next level enter your mind, even as you're focused on right now and your guys, but thinking about like what's next? Like, how do you keep those thoughts in a separate place?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, honestly, when I came back, I knew I had confidence in myself that, you know, I felt like I was going to make it in the league whenever I got there. You know,
sure.
I felt like I didn't need to rush it. You know, I have a lot of confidence in myself as a player and as a worker. I feel like, you know, whatever I need to do to get there, that I'm going to be able to do because I'm just going to work that hard to get there. So I think, you know, I've done a really good job this year of just trying to, you know, set the priority on winning games and getting as far as we want to get to as a team. But, you know, I understand, you know, this whole summer was, you know, working on those things that, you know, NBA teams had told me throughout the summer they wanted me to work on. So I just try to work and improve as much as I could on those things, you know, to help myself. But, you know, once I got to the year, I wanted to give my full commitment to the team. And I'm not playing for anybody else but, you know, myself and this team and the University of Iowa. And, you know, I think, you know, in the future, I think it's all going to, you know, take care of itself just, you know, because, you know, my Chuck Drizzell always told me the harder I work, the luckier I get. So I'm going to continue to work hard and hopefully I continue to get lucky.
Well, Lefty Drizzell used to say that all the time. And Lefty told me once, I said, Coach, I got lucky. He said, if it was luck, it would have run out by now. So what you're doing is not luck, Luca. It's easy to root for, man. I enjoy watching you play.
No doubt.
And I wish you and your team nothing but the best. And we're so appreciative of you spending a little bit of time. Good luck with the next couple of games and the rest of the way. Go make a run in the tournament, man. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It was a tremendous opportunity.
Appreciate Luka Garza's time, nation's leading scorer. He's got to, 24-8 and 55% free field goal percentage. Last quarter century, the only players from power conferences to have those kind of numbers, Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley. So you're talking about a special year, wow. Steve, that he's having. That gives you an idea of the context. I love that he went back,
for one more ride with the guys. And I love that you can see that he can stretch it out and shoot the three. A lot of his work is done down low. That's just not what the NBA is now. But I mean, I think what he can do translates to the next level for sure. I mean, it's just a question of finding the right fit with, especially for a big now, just you got to find a place where you fit what they're trying to get done.
Yeah, and you got to be able to guard the pick and roll in space and what the NBA has become. But like he said, and you watch it when he plays, you know, when he talks about being confident in how much of a hard worker he is, uh-huh. Give me that guy. Give me that guy that is not afraid at any point to work on his game. And, you know, I think they do, you know, and I said that. As long as, you know, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, they got to be dying for the NCAA tournament to start.
Besides who we've been playing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a true thing. Like, I remember a couple years ago, it's probably like 5 or 6 now, the Big Ten was almost at this level. And I was saying these teams just tank in the Big Ten tournament because you got to get some kind of rest. And I think about that stuff when you get to this point of the season. Now, there are some teams that are still playing for, you know, a seed line and understand. I get that. They're not going to throw a Big Ten tournament. But I just, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, is the Big Ten tournament really they mean that much? Get yourself ready.
How good was that game on Sunday?
As you said.
High level.
High.
Both teams
shot-making ability.
53%. Both teams shot 53%. Now, that can turn into, well, no one played any defense. No. There was no defense to be played.
Yeah, you didn't like, watch
when that. Everybody on the floor can pass, dribble, and shoot, you don't have to hide people. So that you fly at some guy on the wing, he runs right by you, puts it on the floor, he kicks to somebody, the ball ping-pongs around, and then can you make open shots? Both of those teams can really go. I think we've looked all year for somebody besides Gonzaga and Baylor. Like, who else? Well, Villanova, sure. But Ohio State and Michigan, both, they're right there to be considered with. And there's that fun bet out there. You get, what do you get? You get Gonzaga or Baylor. And then the other thing is
the field.
So I get both of the teams I watch playing Columbus.
Exactly. That makes me feel good about that side.
Well, I say take the field in general, just because the you know, the wild card that is. And look, I hate to say
it this way, Scott. It's the math.
Well, it's not just the math. It's also, and I hate to frame it this way, but like, you know, look, Baylor's been on pause right now. I mean, you never know. You could have unfortunately, that's why everybody has to hunker down and see this finish line and try to get there and try to stay as safe as they can. So, again, our thanks to Luka Garza. What an easy guy to like.
Oh.
That helps us pivot to something we're going to do here now every week, a new segment.
New segment.
You know, we need that. We need to get – you know who we need? We need the Duke. We need the Duke to bless the mic because I'm going to do it. An announcer guy voice,
yes.
But we need somebody that's like a true VO specialist to introduce this new segment. Every week it's called Here's What I Hate, presented by DraftKings, America's top rated daily fantasy app. Download the DraftKings app today and use code SVP to get in on all the action. And Steve and I have lengthy lists sitting around the office talking about this guy or this thing or this whatever. So we got to just pare it down once a week, mm-hmm. One thing a week. And that's going to be hard for us.
Very hard.
Because we kind of don't like a lot of stuff. Steve, what do you hate this week?
This week, Scott, I really got to knowing and seeing and hearing something I hate so much. And there are plenty of good things about college basketball on Fox. Raftery is one of the best all time. Casey Jacobson's fellow Stanford guy, awesome. But I freaking hate that they have the old NBC NBA music. It drives me nuts. And they also like tinkered with it. It's not the original, and they put their own spin on it, and I hate it. It drives me crazy because I always want to sing it in my head, and it gets me mad because they have it. They shouldn't have it. That is NBA on NBC. I'm done.
You hear that, Fox? Steve doesn't want to hear that music. You know what you need to do to be in a better mood when you hear that? Fire up that YouTube of John Tesh in a tuxedo explaining how he invented round ball rock, where he starts doing the dribble, and talking about how he left himself a voicemail message. Like, imagine John Tesh laying in a hotel room and he sits up in his bed in the middle of the night and he's like, hold on, hold on, I gotta call myself. All right, 3, 2, 1. Now, see, now you're in a good mood. All right. Woo! We took that hate and we channeled it somewhere positive. Steve, let me tell you what I hate this week.
All right.
It, too, has to do with college basketball.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
The net ranking. Now, let me make something clear. I don't hate this as much as I hated the RPI, because the RPI was dumb. So terribly dumb that they did away with it as the sort of exclusive measuring stick. And they created these other things. Mm-hmm. They use KenPom. They use a bunch of other tools and the net ranking. Now, great that they're using the net ranking. But here's the 13th ranked team in the net ranking. The 13th ranked team in the net ranking is Colgate. Now, what? Before Colgate people get mad at me, Jack Bruin, rest in peace, was their coach. Jack recruited me to Catholic University when he was there many, many, many years ago.
Oh,
all time Jack Bruin fan, coached at Colgate, a Donald Foyle. I don't hate Colgate, but your team is not the 13th best team in the country. And the idea that the NCAA is going to create this metric and use it, and I'm supposed to take it seriously when you have Colgate ranked 13th, doesn't make any sense in the world. Now you're saying to yourself, well, maybe they're really good. And maybe they are. But here's what they have demonstrated so far this year. Would you like to know who Colgate has played? Because maybe you're going, well, hold on, Scott.
Patriot League's deep, dude.
Maybe they stepped out and no, there is no out of conference. So far this year, the mighty 13th best team in the country, who's 11-1 and has lost to Army, has beaten Army, Boston University, Holy Cross 4 times, Army 3 times, and they're 4-0 against BU. So their schedule is 4 games against Holy Cross, 4 games against Boston, and 4 games against Army, one of which they lost. They are 13th in the net. What the f*** is going on? How could that possibly be? Now, I asked Kevin Pauka, who does a ton of great work on all this stuff. You should follow him if you like college basketball, because he helps. Well, he helps sort of explain a lot of things. He's an associate AD at Michigan State, and he got. Just go follow Kevin Pauka. I'm not doing a good job explaining it. He explained to me that basically it's because the Patriot – it doesn't matter what he explained to me. I'm going to stop talking.
I have something that you might hate a little more that adds on to this hate.
Colgate's 13th in the net.
How many times have they played Holy Cross?
4.
Do you know how many games they have left in their season?
Hold on. They have 2 games left and they're against Holy Cross.
It's hard to beat a team that many times, Scott.
Thanks, Travis. Yeah, it is. It's the old adage. It's hard to beat a team 6 times unless that's who you play for your entire season. Like, what are we doing? And again, I don't hate Colgate.
No. It's just we love Colgate.
I don't have anything to good, bad, or indifferent to say against Colgate. But they're not the 13th best team in the country. And the idea that, well, you know, we got this new net ranking. Awesome. Great. That's really going to help us figure out how to see the tournament. Oh, here's they're directly in the net ranking in front of West Virginia and Kansas. Come on. Are you kidding? I'm not even going to get into all the rest of these. It's just, let's see. Okay. Hey, Loyola. Okay.
Good story.
Loyola's in there. Wait, do we have a new net ranking? they're still 13th. Right ahead of USC, West Virginia, Kansas, Texas Tech, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, BYU, Colorado. You know what? They're going to get to the tournament. They're going to roll somebody. It's inevitable. There'll be an upset. They'll play Maryland.
Does Charlie use Colgate toothbrush?
And that's what is bound to happen. And then everyone can just say, hey, Van Pelt, suck it. And that's fine. But just There's just no way that they can be number 13 in the net ranking.
Does Charlie use Colgate toothpaste?
If you're at that, we've reached a point in the podcast where you turn into a robot, and I can't understand what you're saying. So,
hello, can you hear me?
It's not your fault. It happens every time.
Hello.
So this is good. This will spare us from that thing we do at the end of every podcast where we just ramble about nothing. So Steve's
one,
a robot.
Two, three.
Anybody old enough to remember Berserk, the video game Berserk? Intruder alert! Intruder alert!
Hello?
No.
It's not you, Steve. It's Scott.
Oh.
Can't understand you either, Travis. So, okay. Well, this is good. So that's what we end. We end with a new segment. That's what I hate. Steve hates that Round Ball Rock is being used for Fox. Nothing anti-Fox. We're good friends with many people at that fine network. It just feels like it's music's been incorrectly appropriated, and I don't like the fact that there's a ranking that says a team that beat Holy Cross 19 times is number 13. And that will conclude SV Pod. Have a nice week.